The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Radio Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have. Told you turn the other cheek, and they met it with a bat. Fuck them protesting them sit-ins. Told you go fight in the war. Vietnam, you dagger riddance. That man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around a pump crack right up when you did it. And they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up. And now it's blood in your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. The one that you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle fingers. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. For those of you who don't know,
welcome to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. Of course, I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines known as USAE. Today's date is September the 22nd, 2015. It is a Tuesday afternoon where I am here on the East Coast in the state or occupied territory known as North Carolina. I hope that you all made it safely through the weekend and, you know, nothing unfortunate happened to you. The most unfortunate thing that could have happened to you is you could have become one of the many, many, many victims of violence that happens in the United States. The United States is a violent country, but when you look at its roots, it was born of genocide, all right, and founded on racism and slavery. That's their legacy, is violence. So it should come as no surprise that so many acts of violence get committed every day in this country. Now, I do want to give some network news, but before I give you that network news, we are scheduled to speak with one of our family members of the Black Talk Radio Network, the co-host, co-producer of New Abolitionist Radio, Mr. Max Parthas, a world-renowned spoken word artist in addition to his abolitionist work. And we will be talking to Max today about the Charleston PBS Town Hall meeting that occurred, which it already has been posted online. It's already aired on television. And Max attended that taping, and he was just very, very, I don't want to say disappointed, because, you know, Max is no fool. Max knows exactly what's going on, but he still was angry about all of the, what's the proper word I could use, the misdirection or the failure to get at the root of the problem when you talk about terrorism, whether that's white terrorism, police terrorism, whatever. When you talk about the policing that goes on in this country, whether all of that has its roots in slavery, in this system being founded on a race-based system of slavery. Like Max said, we ain't talking about metaphorical slavery. We ain't talking about people getting paid $7 an hour doing a job. No, we're talking about real slavery that was never abolished and only amended by the 13th Amendment in this country. So Max will be coming on to share his experience at that town hall taping, which was actually hosted by Gwen Ifill. Y'all probably seen her on TV if you watch public broadcast television. She is a news anchor, and she was the one who was hosting it. So Max will, again, come on and talk about what the experience that he had while he was there. Now, network news. I do want to apologize for the problems with the streams yesterday. The server, and this is the first time the server, well, maybe the second time the server has went down in the 5+ years that we have been broadcasting. We've, you know, had different problems with individual streams, but the entire server was down yesterday. Still haven't identified why that occurred, but it's back up and running. I would have been able to get it up running faster, but my daughter needed me yesterday. She needs a vehicle, a dependable vehicle, and I went with her to make sure that she wasn't going to be put into something that was not going to be beneficial to her, like a predatory loan, and make sure that she picked out a good vehicle. I am what they call a street mechanic, and so I had to go with her, and unfortunately it took a lot longer than what we expected, and so I was late getting back. I thought I would be back on time. That's why there was no live streaming yesterday on the network. That's why some of the streams, well, most of the streams were down. The only streams that were working were some of those media partners that we have, and you know, they are not hosted on our servers, so that's why those streams were working, and none of those streams that are through the Black Talk Media Project were working. But it everything's up now. But I am seeing that there is an issue with the media player. Unless you are on the front page of the Black Talk Radio Network, and you're on the other pages where the media player is also supposed to show up, it is not loading. You can try refreshing your screen or whatnot to get it to load up, but that may not work. And I already see that I'm gonna have some more work to do when I get off of air later on this evening. So apologies for those difficulties, those technical issues going on. I try to stay on top of things as much as possible with the limited amount of help that I have. Okay, so yeah, I just wanted to let y'all know what was going on with that. Also, I've been working on a new website called knowledgebase.blacktalkradionetwork.com. That's the website address. It's knowledgebase.blacktalkradionetwork.com, because people get at me and they want to know, well, how can I, you know, bring my program from another platform and bring it to Black Talk Radio Network and, you know, be able to do everything myself? And so I don't have the time, again, because of the limited staff, to work with people one-on-one all the time. And so I've been creating tutorials for years, but I decided I needed to update those. And we also have upgraded the website to be able to host our own podcast. We don't have to use any other third-party platforms. The clients don't have to use those no more. We can upload our podcast directly to the website. And so, of course, I'm posting tutorials on how to do that for those independent Black media broadcasters and podcasters who are on the network and who will be coming. So now I have this place where I can point you to this tutorials and whatnot. And I'm saying, if you can't get it from those tutorials, then you might want to think about hiring someone to engineer your program for you, and I can do that for you. Actually, we will be launching a new program on the station next month, and they have hired me to do the engineering, or I shouldn't say hired me, but hired the Black Talk Media Project, because all the funds go towards the nonprofit. All right, so today, again, we'll be on air for about an hour, bringing you some news, information, and commentary. Max should be joining us here in just a bit. I may need to call him. But yeah, we'll be talking about America after Charleston. I'm going to be honest with you, only watched like 20 minutes of it. It's about an hour long. I watched 20 minutes of it and I was like, I don't want to diminish what they were talking about in terms of racism and white supremacy and whatnot. But when you start talking about things like predatory lending and stuff like that. I mean, you're just throwing too many topics on the table for people to digest in 1 hour. All right. And if it's supposed to be about that terrorist attack that occurred at the in Charleston, South Carolina at Emmanuel Church, then, you know, I just got bored with it. I got bored with it. I had other work I needed to be working on, and promoting a petition to abolish private prisons and jails in this country, working on the help, the knowledge base website. And, you know, I've heard it all before. Hey, that's a song, right? I heard it all before. Heard it all before. And so, but what I was not hearing, aside from what Max had to say, which, of course, you know, his commentary when he stood up to talk, his commentary made it to the cutting room floor. So, of course, you didn't hear from Max talking about 21st century and slavery and human trafficking and whatnot, because, see, you know, they ain't trying to get you. They not trying to point you to the roots of this problem, right? They want to address the symptoms. And so, I mean, as an abolitionist, first and foremost in my mind is ending slavery in this country. Everything else is pretty much a symptom of that. And of course, slavery is a symptom of racism and white supremacy, but it is a symptom that I could classify it as a disease of its own. Because I do have to acknowledge there are more than just black people and non-white people who are affected by the system of slavery. And there are more than just black people and non-white people who are abolitionists and working to end slavery. So I get frustrated. You know, I try not to get emotional, but I get frustrated. I get passionate when, you know, people beat around the bush. And that's exactly what I saw going on. You're beating around the bush. So let me see. I hope did nothing go wrong with Max, because I haven't been able to contact him in the past hour. Let me see if I could connect with him. Y'all bear with me as I try to add him to the call. See if Max is online. All right, I don't even see Max online. So something could have occurred with Max. Let me see if I can reach him by phone instead of Skype. So y'all bear with me as I try to connect with Max. Hope ain't nothing happened to the brother after he went and did his work as an app. Greetings. This is Scotty. I'm trying to get in touch with Max.
Greetings, Scotty. Hold on one sec.
Okay.
No. Hold on one sec, baby.
All right. No problem. No problem. And, yeah, so I'm glad that, Max, and that was his wife who answered, the phone, and I'm glad she was there backing him up and taping. And,
Hello?
Yeah, Max.
Hey.
Hey, man, we got an interview.
Huh?
We got an interview. We're on air right now. You're on air right now.
Oh, okay.
How you doing today? I know you tired, man.
I'm burnt out, man. It's been a hell of a few days, brother, man. It's been a hell of a few days.
Yes, it has. And as I was telling the listeners, you know, you went to the PBS taping of America After Charleston. And, you know, it has been posted online. It's already aired on television. And Max, I can only stomach 20 minutes of it, man. I couldn't even watch the whole hour.
We were there for more than an hour. There's quite a bit that they cut out of there, particularly regarding what we said, what I said personally, and what our guests, our previous guests from the Black Lives Matter Charleston chapter said, Muhaddin D. Baha. They took that and just cut it and chopped it and got rid of it.
Yeah.
Apparently we said some things, I guess, that are not airworthy.
Hmm. Well, before we get into you sharing your experience there with us, now go ahead and tell the listeners, what was the intent of holding this town hall meeting called America After Charleston?
Well, I really couldn't tell you what the hostess, Gwen Ifill's
Eiffel.
Was, but I know that the published intention was that they wanted to have a conversation about how the Charlestonians are doing and Americans in general after Charleston, after the Charleston Nine have been slain, and now that we've gone to this point where here we are in September, after what occurred in June 17th, I believe.
So basically, they just wanted to talk about. I can't tell you. I'm sorry.
They've done it before with Ferguson as well, like America after Ferguson. So I guess they've got some of the locals that can come. They want to come together, and I guess and anybody else who want to air their voice or talk, and a bunch of panelists that they handpicked it to come out and talk about what life is like now. Here we are in September versus June.
Okay. I mean, I don't understand why the conditions of terrorism would have changed just simply with the passage of time, being that we have been under conditions of terrorism for centuries. So I don't know what the I really don't know what the intent was, man, from the 20 minutes that I watched, and then also from, you know, what you communicated to me and others through social media about your experience there. But again, listeners know sometimes I have problems articulating names and pronouncing names, but you mentioned one of the young brothers who we interviewed on New Abolitionist Radio last week, and he was originally scheduled to be a panelist, but somehow he got replaced. So what's up with that?
Yeah, I was actually there when that happened. That was very insulting. As an artist myself, I know what it feels like to be scheduled to be attending in a position of, I guess, where you're on a panel or the featured artist or whatever it may be, and then somebody walks up to you the hour of the show or the program and tells you, "We're sorry, we've got a bigger, better person over there that we're going to use to replace you today." And that's exactly what happened. So Muhideen and I were standing there, and the woman from PBS came along as the crowd was gathering around and talking. You know, people were mingling, and because they had come from different areas to speak about this matter. And she said, "We're sorry, we're going to be bringing in someone else from the National Black Lives Matter chapter who happens to be here in town. So we're going to be putting them on the panel instead of you."
And if I'm not mistaken, the brother works, doesn't he work with Black Lives Matter?
He is the organizer for the Black Lives Matter Charleston chapter. He's one of the brothers that actually put it together. He's been on the ground not only for the Charleston 9 circumstances that have been going on, organizing and rallying and going.
He actually got arrested for it. He actually got arrested surrounding that flag.
Yeah, that was when he was with us on July 4th and we did the Burn and Bury event with our other guest, John Sims. He was arrested that day.
Right. And so I mean, that is insulting. It also, I don't want to speak ill of the Black Lives Matter national organization. They are a young organization. Mistakes are going to be made, and I don't know everything, but I mean, how can you allow yourself to, you don't even live in Charleston. This brother lives there. This brother lives there. He's part of Black Lives Matter. And then for you to allow yourself to replace him, that's foul, man. That ain't right. And then, you know, for PBS to do that to that young brother again, you know, you're talking about a native. You're talking about someone who lives there. And for you to replace him, and like I had mentioned to you, Max, I wonder if they caught wind of his appearance on New Abolitionist Radio the week prior, that Wednesday, a few days before, and then he coming on there, and then we're talking about the real problem and talking about the problems in unambiguous language, where we're talking about 21st century slavery and human trafficking, and he identified himself as an abolitionist.
Yes, he did. And as a matter of fact, he told them that he had 4 points he was going to cover, with abolition being at the very top of those 4 points. And when they came to tell him he was no longer going to be on the panel, we were outside discussing that. He was getting pointers from me, you know, what he might say here and so on. He was just bouncing his ideas off me. And next thing you know, he's got to come out from the audience and beg to be able to even say anything when just an hour prior, he was a panelist. You know, he was an esteemed guest, and they just tossed him aside. Now, I don't hold any ill will about the person that came in, but I do know that there was confusion regarding that. In addition to the idea that they've got this national person come in who's going to replace the local person who has been organizing there, but it turned out, from what I understand, that this was one of the people who are actually a member and organizer of Campaign Zero, and not necessarily the Black Lives Matter movement any longer, but the Campaign Zero. Now, they may be a part of the Black Lives Matter movement, but I believe they're organizing for Campaign Zero.
Yeah, and I have talked about Campaign Zero. There was a split between these. All of them came out of Missouri. All of the activists who have been identified as being part of Black Lives Matter, the 501c3, they all came out of Missouri. And there was some internal differences, and so they broke away. They broke away. And Campaign Zero has a website. The name escapes me. I think it's joincampaignzero.org or joincampaignzero.org, where they were asking for, they were putting forth policy initiatives, which has been one of the criticisms of Black Lives Matter, but putting forth policy initiatives, but also soliciting policy initiatives. And so I had, you know, I think communicated to the listeners, and I know I communicated to you, that I had started submitting some, at least one proposal to them. I think I proposed to them something about empathy testing for police, racial bias testing. Another thing I think I mentioned to them was, yeah, I pointed out to them that all of this policing is an extension of 21st century slavery and human trafficking. But I never heard back, you know, from anyone. And so, you know, not often, but there is a term called cognitive dissonance. And I think that that is what a lot of is has to do with a lot of this denial that slavery still exists. I don't know, Max. You got to break through probably a lifetime of programming telling these people that Lincoln freed the slaves, the 13th Amendment abolished slavery, and this and that. And then when somebody comes to you and say what you've been taught, what you've been watching on TV, what you've been hearing in the movies, what your teacher been telling you, those are all lies. Read the 13th Amendment. It amends slavery. It does not abolish it. Excuse me. And so I don't know, man. That's the only way I can explain it, Max. I mean, do you have any theories on why these people aren't talking about abolitionism?
I can't say, but I know that when I talk to them myself, I make sure that they understand where I'm coming from. And I know that they're very familiar with what Dean was involved with. He also had put forth legislation or helped bring forth some proposals that they presented to the mayor of Charleston and to the council of Charleston, city council of Charleston, to make real changes in the city of Charleston. So he had done very much the same thing there with the Black Lives Matter Charleston chapter.
Right. And again, if y'all want to know who we're talking about, just go to blacktalkradionetwork.com if you're not already there. But, you know, of course, wait till our programs are over for the day. But it's in the podcast. It's in the archive section of New Abolitionist Radio. And, you know, the brother's young, but he's very wise and he's very open to information. He doesn't have
and
a closed
brave.
Mind.
Very brave, because as you mentioned, a lot of people, for some reason that escapes us, will not accept the idea that slavery exists in the United States and is legal and practiced. And when you mention these things to them, they, it's like you're a vampire and they throw up a cross and run away, which is literally what happened to me at the discussion there when Gwen Ifeli came.
It's Gwen Ifeli.
Yeah, Gwen Ifeli. Thank you. I'm as bad as you sometimes,
guys. It's okay, brother.
When she came along, and I had to talk to the producers and while they were doing their thing and ask them to speak over and over and over again. And finally she came to me, and the first thing that came out my mouth was, we need to discuss a permanent solution like abolition because we're dealing with modern day slavery. And then I, within about a minute, broke it down to the audience and to her how we're dealing with modern day slavery with the 13th Amendment exception clause and its relationship not only to private prisons, but to prisons in general, and the unbroken chain that we've seen from the 1800s till now, from slavery to convict leasing to chain gangs to unicorn.
I have so many questions for you, Max, but I do want to let the listeners know if you have any questions, any commentary that you would like to add to this dialogue. Please give us a call at 641-715-3660. Again, that number is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032-POUND. Once again, that's 549032-POUND. If you're already in the line or once you call in, just hit *6 and 1 on your keypad. That will let me know that you would like to comment and, you know, you're not just listening through your phone. All right. I do want to play. I was very appreciative, you know, of the footage that was uploaded by yourself. Because that, I understand that didn't make the make, you know, it was cut out. But let me ask, yeah, go ahead, Max. It was cut out.
No, it was cut out completely. You're right. We hit the cutting room floor. It was as if we had never even attended. The only time you saw me is there's this one point where this heavyset white guy is talking, and you can see me making gas faces behind him. My head's kind of tilted to the side, and I'm listening to this ridiculousness and the focus of ideas that they're on at the moment as if there's a narrative that they're trying to put forth. And the whole time we stood there watching. So you could see me making a gas face behind him talking on national television, and that's about it. But we were recorded by them. Our statements were, you know, caught by them, and we said what we had to say, but they cut it right on out. And not only did it cut out what we said, but there were some extremely ridiculous statements being made by some of the legislators, or one of the legislators that was there, the Republican legislators, and they cut that out as well.
Now, let me ask you this, and we're going to take a break in about 2 minutes. Take a station identification break, and then I want to play the video that you uploaded to social media, which I have been sharing as well. But did the subject, now, you know, we know it's modern slavery, but did the subject of mass incarceration come up at all? And in what context, if it did?
When they spoke of prison, they spoke of it as a boogeyman. No context at all. You hear the people during the show where they'll mention it maybe 2 or 3 times, but it's as if prison is something that happens to you and that's the end of the story. There is no narrative at all about prison itself as something separate that is occurring on a national scale. Just, you know, the words mass incarceration came out, and I think one person said we need to end mass incarceration. And another person mentioned prison as a location you end up when things happen. And that was about the end of it.
So there was not even a mention of the historic bill that was introduced that would abolish private prisons and jails?
Not a word, Scotty, of the anniversary of the fugitive slave laws, which had just occurred the day before. And also in simultaneously with the anniversary of the fugitive slave laws, the release of the Justice Is Not For Sale Act, which came out from, was introduced by Senator Bernie Sanders. No mention of that at all either.
I have to say, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised because I haven't seen not one mention. Not that I spend a lot of time watching MSNBC, Fox News, or any other alphabet networks. corporate media, which is a part of this oppressive state or nation, which really isn't a nation, it's actually a corporation. But I haven't seen anything, Max. I haven't seen any mention of it whatsoever. Of course, I go to Google News and I look at the news feed, and the only place that it's showing up is on alternative websites that aren't considered mainstream, but were able to at least get their websites connected to Google News feed to where it's coming out there. But I mean, like San Francisco Bayview, which is a very, I would call it a radical news publication, you know, in comparison to everything else that's coming out. But they were some of the few, one of the few publications I saw put out an article about it. But all the mainstream, NBC, no, man, it ain't coming out at all. And I believe that's a deliberate effort to suppress the information for various reasons. But listen, I want to take a station identification break. We are talking with new abolitionist Max Parthas, also a world-renowned spoken word artist, about his experience at the taping of America After Charleston, America After Charleston that went on yesterday in Charleston, South Carolina. Stay tuned. We will be right back. You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. And welcome back. Max, had you seen anything in terms of national coverage of this bill?
No, I haven't seen anything of it on the national coverage at all. Like you, I've seen some local sharing and discussions of it, but very minimal. I think we've been like among the leading people discussing this. And as you said, it almost seems as if it's purposely being done. Like nobody's allowed to see an alternative. Like there is no alternative to reform. Instead, I am seeing a lot of information regarding the president's visit. First visit being, you know, the first president to visit a prison. I'm seeing a lot about that, but nothing at all about a solution that would end prison for profit in America today. The first legislation ever to be placed forward to end prison for profit since Abraham Lincoln. So I haven't seen anything like that. And it is very unsettling at the least to see this occurring. It's as if it's being buried. Like they don't want prisons to end. And I think it's very much related to the same reasons that you won't see politicians ever mentioning prison for profit as a problem or something criminal like Bernie Sanders has been doing.
Right. Now, I do want to go ahead and cue up the video that you took yesterday. And so we're going to listen to that. And again, if you would like to comment on air, if you have a question for Max or myself, give us a call, 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. Hit *6 and 1 to comment on air. Also, I will be interested to see if any of the listeners out there, if you have, you know, been scanning corporate media, you know, MSNBC, did Melissa Harris Perry do a segment on it? Did John Daly of The Daily Show or whoever has replaced him, did they do anything on it? I'm interested to hear from you all. Did PBS during their regular news hour broadcast that they do daily, have they devoted any coverage? So, I can't watch everything myself. I do try to do, I try to gather intelligence. But I can't see everything. So, everyone I've asked this question to has said no. It's like this bill was never introduced. It's like it don't even exist. All right. So let's listen to this footage of Max attending the PBS taping of America After Charleston. And Max titled this video, "What About Abolition?"
Did you see the pictures of the people that were shot and killed by law enforcement in this country? That's white supremacy living in their hearts. Silly youth have white supremacy living in their hearts. We are going to burn that flag down. we are going to break laws to burn that flag down. We are going to bury white supremacy. We are equal, brother. We are equal.
That they sell on the open market in the form of prison stops and jail bubbles. It has turned our police, who are filling quotas, into slave catchers, and it has turned our prisons into plantations. And these people, well over a million of them, are being worked right now for pennies on the dollar, making commercial goods that are sold in the open market. And this is modern day slavery, and we should address it. Thank you very much.
How many people were born in Charleston that are of African descent? Raise your hand. How many people that were born in Charleston are of African descent in this room right now? We just got to know who you, what you're talking to. You were doing something more important. So raise your hand if you were born in Charleston and are of African descent. This is the audience that you're talking to right now. You're talking to, we're having a discussion that is leaving out the people that are most affected and have been most affected. These conversations that are here in Charleston are like this all the time. We have not broken through that barrier to actually get the right people in the room together to have the right kind of conversation. This is going to be a continuance of it, and I would be regretting letting you be here and feel like you're doing something that's going to be substantial, when in fact we do not organize in our community in such a way that we can hold space for the conversation to even begin. And so this conversation is unfortunately, you know, just for the people that are here, that are always here to have conversations.
Yes.
Prison government. You have, like, South Carolina doesn't have prison as its number one industry. You act like we don't employ 7,000 people here to arrest and keep people in prison. Nobody's talking about freedom. Ain't nobody saying nothing new. You're talking about reform. What about abolition? What about abolition?
Yes. Yes.
It's because of teenage pregnancy. Like, you arrested our men and women and thought them off jail. Come on.
Come on.
Like, you destroyed our families. Ain't doing it. Here, 2.5 million people in this country right now today. The largest in the history of this world. And you guys act like it ain't going on. You don't want answers.
Yes. Finally.
All right, we'll stop it there. I stand corrected. Somebody did mention abolishing private prisons, and of course that was Max. Man, y'all represented well, brother. I just want to commend you. You my hero. Of course, you are inspiring me. As always, and I mean, you were just speaking the truth to power. And what really stood out to me, Max, is because it's not so much as what you and say the brother's name again. I'm going to learn it.
Muhaddin.
You, yes. What the truth that you brothers were speaking, of course, I'm aware of. But what really stood out to me was that the audience was receptive. To what you were saying, you guys got a round of applause. And so it's interesting, again, not surprising to me, that your commentary, that his commentary ended up on the cutting room floor. And you mean to tell me somebody was there talking about unwed mothers? Come on.
I forget her name, but she is the Republican legislator who did such an impassioned speech about taking down the Confederate flag after the Charleston Nine had been killed and they had the discussions on removing the flag in Columbia. And as you know, we've been a part of all of this from the very beginning,
right?
Including being there for these different scheduled meetings and watching the flag come down ourselves and helping organize the rallies and the protests to make it occur. So she's just becoming aware of racism in general. She was one of those people who was in complete denial less than a year ago and representing right-wing conservative Republican values. So they had her on the panel, and she started talking at one point about how she firmly believes that teenage pregnancy is the primary reason for poverty in the black community. And she even went to points where she was saying, you know, you have to be there and witness it and be to live that life to understand. And it just blew my mind to hear some ridiculous statement like that, basically telling all these black people who are listening worldwide, if it had been shown, and all these people of African descent in the room there at that time, that we're making too many babies, too many, too fast, and that's the reason why we're poor. It blew my mind. I'm like, you're considered an expert. Why? Because you're a legislator? Why? Because you're a Republican? What are you even up here talking about? And it bothered me so much that at that point, because they would not call upon me to speak any further, and I'm saying that they wouldn't call on me to speak any further is because the audience wanted to hear more. There were people throughout the audience and all through the back who had their hands raised up during the segments that they wanted the audience to speak, not for themselves, but they were pointing at me. They wanted them to come to me and allow me to speak further on this abolition idea. So when she said that, I couldn't hold it back any longer. And as you heard on the tape, I addressed that specifically. And I was just very passionate. I was very upset at the time because I had been sitting there listening to a whole bunch of circular conversation about the same old thing over and over again. Victim blaming. They had one guy who got up talking about how all his family has gone to college and they've got money, a person of color, and that if we just dressed better and carry ourselves better and had more respect and stop smoking reefer and, you know, stop with the rap music and, you know, the narrative that they put out, he actually came out and said that. So it was a lot of conversations like that. You'll hear some good talking points on their program, but you'll hear the same thing you've always been hearing. Mm-hmm. No real solid solutions. They spoke a lot about reform, and they spoke a lot about democratic talking points, which I really think is what their narrative was supposed to be, democratic talking points. But you didn't really hear anybody talk about solid solutions, about real issues that we're facing. It was very watered down and just generalized, which is why I said they don't want answers. They just want to keep talking. That's all they want. Yeah. Keep talking.
Yeah, they want the status quo to remain. Right. That's the whole point of circular conversations, is to keep you going in circles, to keep you going in circles and not coming up with really any real solutions, because, hell, you don't even know what the real problem is. And of course, you know, Ben Carson, I saw him on News One being interviewed by Roland Martin, and he was asking him questions about Black Lives Matter and whether or not he supported or whatnot. And again, you know, again, I have issues with people trying to name a movement that has been going on for centuries. Okay, people fighting against police brutality. But, you know, I ain't got an issue. If that's what you want to call your organization, that's what you can call your organization. But don't try to rewrite history and act like, you know, this movement just started last year. Or I even saw some revisionist history in a Guardian article today regarding Black Lives Matter, saying it started during the shooting of Trayvon Martin. And I mean, this is just revisionist history. I, you know, again, am not criticizing or attacking anyone who is associated with the 501c3, because I think they are doing some good things as well. I like the fact that they are not endorsing any political candidates and whatnot. So, you know, they acknowledge that they're still young and that they're growing and they have a lot of work to do. I understand that, but it's the mainstream media that has tried to call this movement Black Lives Matter, because then they know that it won't resonate with the masses of the people in this country because they have implicit bias. As soon as you say Black Lives Matter, racism just starts spewing out of their mouths, and not just white people, black people too, non-white people too, practicing proxy racism. But I heard Ben Carson, for example, blame poverty when he was asked a question specifically about about police terrorism. Of course, he goes into the talking points and distractions and talk about, I think that we can address poverty by getting unwed black mothers. You know, we got to do something about that, and we got to give them access to health care. But, you know, not that I'm touting Obamacare as a solution or an answer that's going to address all of that, but there are a lot more people who have access to health care than who had it before it was passed. And so Ben Carson wants to abolish. He doesn't want to abolish slavery, but he wants to abolish, you know, Obamacare. So I'm like, you talking about they need health care, but then you don't want them to have health care. And you ain't offered no alternative plan to them getting health care. And then also to speak to, you know, I don't know what the racial classification of this Republican on the panel was, but she want to talk about poverty in the black community, and that's the root of all our problems. Look, I live in a community that's 80% white, a county that's 80% white. And I go to the store and I see a lot of white people with EBT cards. Poverty knows no color. It knows no racial classification. It knows no religious classification. Poverty is poverty. And mighty funny, in all of these, what they call Republican red states, they have the highest number of people on Medicaid and Medicare, or in a lot of states don't even want them to have that, and they're blocking the expansion of that. But a lot of them are on EBT, you know, the SNAP program. So again, that's just racist for her to even say something like only black people are living in poverty. Yes, it's impacting us more than any other demographic, but just like I say about slavery, I'm not interested in ending slavery for black people. I'm interested in ending slavery. I'm not interested in ending poverty for black people. I'm interested in ending poverty. So they not going to get me into that trap to where then you make it about race, even though, you know, race is an underlying issue. But I know that as soon as you say that, that automatically people are going to oppose that. And this is some of the things that Neely Fuller Jr. has talked about. Don't talk about race when you talking to these racist suspects or you talking to the system. All right. You talk about the problem in non-racial language. So I didn't mean to go on that little mini rant there, but Max,
you made some really good points, brother. And for one thing, you pointed out about Ben Carson's rhetoric. Well, Ben Carson has been really saying some ridiculous things, and I don't think that he understands the problems of the children of the diaspora at all. You know, as a person who went to an all-white school and raised in an all-white community with all-white ideals, he recently came out with some ridiculous statement just this morning. I heard it out of his mouth with my own ears on national television, where he said that he won't have any problem with you as a person regarding immigrants and his discussion or his statements about Muslims being president, that he would have no problem with you if you embrace the American culture and you put the Constitution above your own religious beliefs. It's very important that you put the U.S. Constitution above your religious beliefs. Now, how ridiculous does that sound? Because everybody I know that believes in a God, whether it be a Muslim God or whether it be a Christian God or whatever God, always puts God first. That Constitution has been violated more than a $3 hooker. And if you think that somebody wants to put that above a God, then you're out of your mind. And to be able to say something like that and stand there with, like, you know, it's real and serious is ridiculous. We are talking about the same Constitution that we've been documenting over the years that has been violated over and over and over again, right? Mm-hmm. This is what you want us to put above our own beliefs in a omnipotent being. And another point you made about, you know, the white conversation it was pointed out by Mujahideen in the clip that you played, where he said, you know, raise your hand if you were born in Charleston and you're of African descent. And there's this majority white audience who was there, maybe four or five hands raised up of people who were born in Charleston and of African descent. And he pointed out that these are the people who are the most affected by what's going on in Charleston and in Baltimore and in Ferguson and on and on. But they're not part of the conversation. As usual, it's just a bunch of imports coming in who are always there, primarily people who are non-black descent, and discussing our issues as if they are a part of our issues. You know, while I was there in that discussion, it kind of hit me that maybe it's a good idea at this point on in, well, we shouldn't even be having combined conversations about this anymore. We should get together with our people who are affected by this and have conversations with them, and you people who are actually perpetuating these problems upon us should get together with your people and straighten it out, and then we can bring representatives together and work on a final solution. Because at this point, they're just interjecting their priorities into our lives.
Right. And I will also point out, in terms of the Constitution and perhaps Bill, I'm sure other people have pointed this out, but there is no religious test to hold public office. All right. So for him to even say that, he's just blowing those racist dog whistles that quote unquote Christian conservatives like to hear. You know, my spirituality is my spirituality. I don't try to force that upon anyone. All right. I don't ask people when they, you know, want to join Move to Abolish 21st Century Slavery and Human Trafficking. Are you a Christian? Are you a Buddhist? Are you a Muslim? No, that ain't the question that we ask, Mass. We ask them, are you an abolitionist? And that's the only answer I'm interested in hearing. Let's go to the phone line. We got someone calling in using a flash phone. Go ahead with your question or your comment for myself or either our guest, Max Parthas. Hello? The person, you're the only person who has your hand up. You might have heard it say you're unmuted. Did you have a question or comment?
Pardon. Yeah, I had to unmute myself. Hotep brother Scotty and brother Max, just greatly appreciated the work that y'all are doing. I've definitely been appreciating the conversation, and I figured I'd just ask if y'all had heard or seen, rather, the blog post, the most recent Jaleel Muntakim blog posting on his site, which lists some suggestions for what he refers to as hashtag BLM, BLM. Mm-hmm. One of which includes the demand for the removal of the exception clause from the 13th Amendment, which it's a very strongly written blog posting. If you get a chance to check it out, it's on his site, freejaleel.com.
Free Jaleel. And Jaleel Muntakim is a political prisoner. All right. And like I mentioned on Political Prisoner Radio Sunday night, you know, we got people in this country that want to point their fingers at Cuba and talk about Cuba got all these political prisoners and whatnot. But you ain't even acknowledging political prisoners here within the United States. And Jaleel Muntakim is certainly one of those. And in terms of Black Lives Matter, again, you know, he is one of our elders, all right, that is in prison because he was trying to make Black Lives Matter. So again, that's just, you know, to illustrate the point that this didn't no Black Lives Matter movement start in when Trayvon Martin was killed. All right. It didn't start when Michael Brown was killed. There have been people trying to make African descendant lives, non-white lives, and also working on issues of poverty for all of us, regardless of classification, for a very, very long time. So let me ask you this. Are you a member of Move to Abolish 21st Century Slavery and Human Trafficking?
Not officially as far as on the web. I'm not heavy in the social media.
Okay,
game right
I,
now,
I understand. Well, I'll go to the website and I'll make sure I share it on our social media pages, and I appreciate you calling in. and telling us. It's probably buried in my email because I subscribe to his blog, and I'll make sure I get that out. But I'm happy to hear that he is making abolitionists, you know, suggesting to them that abolitionism needs to be a part of their platform, and pointing out that the 13th Amendment never abolished slavery, it only amended it. So thank you for that report.
Absolutely, no problem.
Did you have any other comments?
I did wonder if you could just repeat the full URL for the new site that you're working on, Knowledge Base, because I definitely wanted to check that out.
Yes, knowledgebase.blacktalkradionetwork.com. knowledgebase.blacktalkradionetwork.com. And it's still a work in progress. I've gotten some tutorials up, but I got a whole bunch from over the years, but I want to update them. So y'all just be patient. But I've already put up like 3 or 4 on there, and I hope that is helpful. But there's more coming. All right, brother. Thank you for calling in and chiming in.
Absolutely. Thank you, and thank you, Max.
Thank you, brother. I'm reading that blog right now, and I see what he's talking about.
Is cleared.
He says number 5 in his list that he has there is an immediate end to mass incarceration and end the prison industrial complex, demand the end of the corporate prisons for profit, for the implementation of restorative justice and community education programs, demand the removal of the clause in the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution that permits prison slavery and involuntary servitude.
Max, can you post that to the group and to New Abolitionist Radio's Facebook page, please?
Yes.
All right.
I certainly will. There is one thing, though, when you start putting prison before slavery as in a combined thing, it kind of separates from actual abolition. We're not just talking about prison slavery. We're talking about ending slavery, period. Because, you know, the detention centers are also now using prison slave labor, or using slave labor, so the juvenile detention facilities, or are using these children who are being employed and working in there. So it goes beyond just the prison walls. They're exploiting us on so many levels that it's hard to even imagine that it could be occurring in the 21st century.
Yeah, and I understand and agree with you, Max, but I also understand, you know, and you know about cognitive dissonance, and you can't drop too much on them at one time, but just enough to interest them. And so prison slavery, it's also a term that I use, but of course it does encompass everything that you just mentioned, you know, it doesn't need to involve them working, just being housed in like a, you know, just housed in a private detention facility, in a cell or state or federal. They're like you mentioned about New York, you know, how many coins are flying out of a person's behind that's incarcerated in New York or enslaved in New York?
Yeah, for a teenager like Khalif Browder, who committed suicide after 3 years of hell, as an innocent child being in a prison with adults out in New York State, the price tag to incarcerate someone like him per year, per child, is $353,000 a year. And what you were saying is something I had said previously some months back. It's kind of like, you know, you got the 16-year-old boy walking down the street with not even 2 nickels in his pocket. He can't afford to buy a sandwich if he's hungry, but if a policeman grabs him by the arm and arrests him, gold coins start flying out of his ass, because now he's suddenly worth $353,000 a year. So someone like Khalif Browder, if you go in at 13 years old and you come out 18 years old, you've made New York State almost $2 million in profit.
Yep. All right. Well, Max, we come to the end of the broadcast. I'm only doing an hour today because I got a lot of work to do. Just for the listeners, Tando Radio Show is coming on live at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, so you might want to tune in for that. But again, also, whether we're live streaming or not, there's content being delivered 24/7 through this digital radio station. Max, again, man, Just thank you, man. I feel blessed just to know you, let alone to have been working with you for this number of years on this very important issue of modern human day trafficking and slavery. And just, man, you know, we might have to get you a security detail. You know what I'm saying? All right. So I'm not going to speak any evil words into existence or anything, but you just be safe behind these enemy lines. But before you go, do you have any final comments you would like to leave with our listeners?
Yes. And I understand about the security detail. I've actually reached out to the New Black Panther Party regarding maybe giving me a hand with that. And we've been talking about it because I have been threatened. My wife, my child, my children, my family have been threatened. But it's not stopping us from doing what we're doing. And if I have anything to say at the end of this program, is that for the listeners to have hope that the abolitionist movement is growing by leaps and bounds. Everywhere I look, people are talking about abolition now. And it's not when we first started where we couldn't get anybody to discuss it. They are discussing it now. We're running across an impasse, and that impasse is the establishment and particular mainstream media who, as you've seen with the Bernie Sanders legislation, Justice is Not for Sale Act, are literally silencing us and putting our discussions on the cutting room floor rather than putting them out for everybody to be able to hear them. But that's not going to stop this. This is a movement that is not going to end until we see freedom. And that's our main goal, freedom for people who are locked away in cages and being exploited by the millions. That's our goal. And if you're not talking about freedom, then what are you really talking about? Thanks again, Brother Scotty. And as far as I'm concerned, man, you're a hero in my eyes, too. All the work you've been doing over the years, I'm proud to be standing by your side at this time in our history. Thank you so much, brother.
All right. And can you sign us off with what you always say at the end of New Abolitionist Radio, which airs on this network at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern every Wednesday night?
Yes, sir. Be sure to tune in 8 o'clock Wednesday, where we'll be showing you how Mississippi is Ferguson, as well as many other stories. And to keep in mind this little phrase, abolition is a reason for a revolution, so we can finally know peace. Peace, Scotty.
Peace.
How do you describe desperation to someone who is not desperate? Began a letter to me from U.S. political prisoner Ojo Lutulo, who went on to depict everyone in the management control unit. I tried to say, being woken up at 1 o'clock in the morning by guards dressed in riot gear, holding doors. This country was born out of genocide. That's the political genesis of the slavery system, the political genesis of the prison system. This country was born out of genocide. And that's the political genesis of the slavery system, the prison system. Slavery system is 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 the prison system. This country was born.